It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
All right, welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday to you. Ben Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Let's get our heads right on a Friday morning. I think that's the most imperative thing to do. Get your heads right. Take a deep breath. Everything's going to be A-OK. I'm mostly just talking to myself. It's been a long week. It's been a stressful week. Yesterday was one of the more long and stressful days I think I've had in a very, very long time. But it is great. Oh, my wife making it way worse already. Like, puts in the group chat. Babe, it would give me a lot of satisfaction to organize the office together tomorrow. If you're trying to kill me, if you're trying to put me in a box, you're well on your way, woman. I don't want to organize the office tomorrow. I don't want to do anything tomorrow but sit on my ass and do nothing.
Okay? I'm not going to. So quit asking.
Please. Just when our show starts, hey, also, just know in the back of your mind you're going to come home and we're going to organize the office tomorrow. I can't do it, man. Well, I'm Woodsy. That's Paul Reindel, the executive producer. Good morning, Paulie.
Good morning.
Benjamin Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us as well. Good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. Happy Friday to everybody, no matter what else you say.
Don't ask me to do nothing! This is nothing!
No matter what else is going on, you can't take away from us that it is Friday.
I've never had a bigger spirit animal than that Pittsburgh Steelers fan.
From what, 4 or 5 years ago?
At least. I think that was first year Ben and Woods. This guy is watching. I mean, it was the Steelers were like in the playoffs or something.
They blew it.
So it's been a while. They blew it. And his wife's not saying anything to him. He's doing the preemptive strike on her, where he's like, hey, and he says in it, he said, you're gonna find here.
You're gonna find me dead. I'm gonna kill myself.
That's so hardcore.
Don't ask me to do nothing. This is nothing.
It's a good bit. I mean, last night after after that game. I mean, you could have pulled the, I'm not doing anything, okay? Don't ask me to organize the office. Nothing. You know, it's funny, as we sat yesterday in our, we go every other week to marriage counseling. That was one of the things I said to her. I was like, look, I just sometimes feel a little overwhelmed, and I need a little grace. And this is the grace I get. It's 6:01. Hey, just so you know, you got 4 hour show to do. You got about 2 hours of production to do. We got to pick the kids up from school. We got a wedding tonight. And then tomorrow, we're going to clean out the
office. You got a wedding tonight? Yeah. Who's getting married?
My buddy Cookie.
Oh, really?
Yeah, getting married tonight. So excited about that.
Are you performing the ceremony?
No, he didn't ask me.
You
thank
just get
God.
To go and enjoy the wedding.
Yeah, I actually just get to go and I don't have to do any do anything special. Or I just get to be there and have fun and have some pops and... Yeah, man, it's gonna be interesting. It's gonna be fun. But we got a very special guest in the studio this morning as well, all the way from New York City, and he's not on camera, but his name is Ryan Cohen, and you guys may know Ryan Cohen, super Padres fan and beloved friend of the show. Wanted to come in and hang out. Good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
I'm good, man. Happy to be back in San Diego.
Oh, is that on? Which one? Check, check.
Let's try this.
Try it again.
One.
How do we sound out?
Nope. Not great at all.
Not good.
Hang on.
I promise you, he's there.
How do we sound now?
No, terrible.
Nope. Okay.
We're on fire. Maybe that mic. No, this one? There it is. I can
That's
hear
it. Yeah.
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 Oh,
there it is.
Good morning, buddy.
Good morning.
Well, life is better when the Padres win, but
not
they
the last two
did
days.
Not win the last two games, so I think that's why everybody's a little bit on edge. And you know, you don't have a wife to make your life worse like I do. You don't have to clean the office tomorrow. Unless you want to come over and help her, that'd be great. But welcome back to town, man.
Thank you.
It's good to have you.
I say it all the time. Landing in San Diego, I think, is the best feeling in the world.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great. How's New York City treating you?
Dude, I'm having a blast.
Are you?
Man.
How could you not, man? How old are you? 20?
Just turned 24.
24 yeah. In New York City in the Big Apple working for John Boy. And getting to talk about, cover, create content for one of the biggest media platforms out there. It is nuts. It's nuts. And we were just talking on the way up here, man. Ryan has not been in here since his freshman year of college, which
wow.
is insane. And now he's in wow. New York. And I'm like, man, Bo was just a little dude at that time. Very, very little. Taylor wasn't even on the scene yet. And and look at you now, New York City.
I had plans to come in here and hang out with you guys right before COVID hit.
Yep.
COVID hit. Obviously, you guys weren't here. And then, for whatever reason, just haven't been back in the studio. And yeah, life has changed a lot.
It sure has, dude. It sure has. I mean, I love New York. I think New York's one of the best cities in the world. This is obviously a different vibe. I couldn't do... If somebody said, Woods, you moved to New York now? No. But at your age... I wouldn't have made it out alive, but it would have been a fun couple
years. You might
want to
tamp down the New York loving for just the next couple of days.
You're right.
The New York team is in town and making life miserable on the San Diego Padres and their fans, but that's just me. It's just me.
I love San Diego so much.
Yeah.
And I'm enjoying myself. I'm in my 20s. New York is great, but San Diego is better.
Yeah, it's not close.
Ever. And, I tell everyone there that as well.
Yeah.
So I'm having fun, but my heart will always be here. Sure.
Yeah, no question, man. No question. Well, welcome, man. Glad you're here hanging out, observing the show. And it's just good to have you. It's good to see you, dude. I'm very proud of you, number one, and very happy for you, number two. You think, what are the plans? Like, is it just, I'm just gonna keep rolling?
Yeah, until I'm not happy.
Keep rolling
yeah,
until you're
I don't
not
know.
Happy.
Dude, I'm not good at planning. Here's a little behind the scenes. I kind of lied to people a little bit when I moved out there and said that I had a job. I think I had to lie to myself in order to move across the country. I had somewhat of maybe kind of an opportunity.
A chance.
But my foot was in the door. I did not have a job.
Good for you, man.
I went 6 months without a job.
That's a huge, huge step to take.
Yeah, it was terrifying.
Yeah,
it was
really
terrifying.
Scary.
And it's fun to tell now because I have the job and I love the job. But, in February in New York City when it's snowing and I miss my friends and my home and my parents and the Padres, what am I doing?
And you're surviving on your $0 salary.
Did you know what I was surviving on? My Wheel of Fortune winnings.
Oh, that makes sense.
That's the reason I was able to move there.
What a great story. Now, I lost $50,000 on the wipeout, so I didn't lose it.
You didn't lose it. You had it in your hands.
Correct.
Literally,
all I had to do
right
was
there.
Finish.
And you lost it. But
yeah.
You didn't lose. You didn't have to pay $50,000.
No.
You didn't leave in debt. Like, owing the show.
I've been broken ankle, concussion. I mean, it was
medical debt.
But, dude, really proud of you. Really happy to have you back here. And enjoy the show. Hang out.
Well, I have, I love my job now. But you guys, a lot of people in San Diego media have really taken me under my wing since I was in high school when you really didn't have to. So I'm very grateful for you guys, this show, and everyone here who's been so nice to me and helped me out a ton.
Well, listen, Ryan Cohen is basically saying we are the ones that got. He's giving us the credit for getting him to New York. So I'll take that today. I needed some credit.
I'm pretty sure he gave Vanna White the credit for getting him to New York,
that's not true.
Us, but that's fine.
A lot of credit to a lot of people.
Love you, man. Proud of you, dude. Very, very good. Very good stuff. The great Ryan Cohen, Mr. Positive. I needed him in here this morning because I was feeling a little negative Nancy.
There's no more positivity that you're going to get from a Padres fan than Ryan Cohen.
100%.
Which is weird. So, obviously, it's a Friar Friday, and we'll be talking with Mike Schilt a little bit later. But it comes down to this, and you saw it last night after the game with Mike Schilt, his post-game news conference, and we expected it. We've gotten to know him well enough that we understand that Padres fans, and we include ourselves in that group, and Mike Schilt are on different wavelengths. And sometimes I'm sure he thinks we're all insane right now. Team loses twice. two games in a row out of a 162 game season. And you could see it. You could sense it on social media last night. You could sense it even kind of in the stands, the just impending sense of doom and panic that sets on this Padres fan base.
Got me after the very first at bat.
you can sense it.
Here we go.
and Mike Schilt does not understand. We've actually talked to him about this.
Yeah, yeah.
And he doesn't understand our doom mindset. He's going, this is very normal in a baseball season, people. You know, you're going to have good stretches. You're going to have tougher stretches. You're going to lose games in a row consecutively. It's 162 of these. And just like we're still doing, we're right where we want to be. We're 15 games above 500.
Yeah,
we're holding
sure.
a playoff spot. He just is not going to grasp our existential dread about the next bad thing that we all kind of expect to be happening as Padres fans. And similarly, we don't understand him necessarily and his relentless positivity and never, like, there isn't even a panic button. He doesn't need, not only not hit the panic button.
He doesn't have one.
It doesn't have one. It does not exist. It will never exist. There's no button anywhere that he could ever hit that would cause Mike Schilt to panic about a baseball team. Even when his, St. Louis Cardinals needed to win 17 in a row at the end of the year to make the playoffs. Just go ahead and do it. That's the way he's wired. But he's wired differently than I would say the majority of Padres fans. Even Mr. Optimism, Ryan Cohen, has a little sense of that doom and dread, right?
Sure.
Yeah, he got that sense that we all do as Padres fans just because it's just the franchise history that's been built into us. We expect disappointment. And when we start to see it, it's a familiar feeling that we don't like.
You hate it. You hate to see it.
Jake and Jordan from Cespedes Family, who you guys know well, talked about it at the break, where if your team had a good first half and you lose a couple games at the beginning of the half, you go, was that all fake?
Yeah.
Was that, did we smoke and mirrors? Did we fool everyone? Padres have lost two games in a row after the greatest stretch in Padres history in the regular season. I'm a very optimistic person. And last night on the flight, I got a little bit of, oh God, if we lose the series to the Mets, and then we have to, it happens. It happens. Now, I love Schilt's mentality. I think that's how you have to be as a manager. And I still think they're going to win tonight. I'm very optimistic about this team. But yeah, that impending doom is certainly there a little bit.
Let's check in with the Padres fans. Paul, if you have any kind of music you can put up, I'll just read some tweets from the final score thread last night. Well, let's check in with the rank and file, if you will. Ready? I'll wait for any kind of music.
Give me one second.
Yeah, whatever. Take your time. I got literally nothing but time today. Nothing.
You could always start reading, and then Paul, you just ease in with the music
start. There we go. Collapse is coming. Strap in. Here comes the crash. No. Release Glaspie. Just give up. What are the script writers writing? Tough loss. Great team effort, boys. Be better. Gonna put 2010 and 2021 to shame, huh? I may not survive a 2021 type collapse again. It's over. Go home. Disaster game. Embarrassing team. Fraud race. Don't do this, Padres. Well, not good. I hate this team. Just unutterable trash. This is the first 15.
This is wild because Twitter's usually such a positive place. So this is like, you know, it's real now. Like the doom and gloom.
I have the same thing. You know, 8-game losing streak incoming.
Oh yeah, that's so good.
Collapse coming. I mean, I've got the same tweets, and you know what? There's some reason for concern. I'm not going to just tell you everything's completely fine and okay. They're in a tough stretch. They're in a dangerous spot in the season. 16 games in 16 days. We'll talk about it coming up here. But, yeah, I mean, you know, the pitching's gotten a little concerningly thin again at this moment at a tough spot in the season. They're missing two lineup regulars now in Kim and Tatis when the offense is not coming through quite as consistently as it did before. Yeah, there are signs for concern. There's also every reason in the world to believe that they will once again come out of it, as they have every single time this season.
Yeah, buddy.
When they've had a bad stretch, much worse stretches than losing two in a row, like the last couple of days. And they've come out of all of them every single time. And Mike Shildt just kind of nods and goes, yeah, see, this is what I've been telling you.
Told you.
We're going to keep getting better as the season goes on. And we're not going to let these little setbacks hold us back. We'll see if he's right again, or if the Doomers finally get their day and this is the final collapse that you've all been worried about all season long.
No, and to say it a different way, this is the final collapse that you've all been waiting for.
Eagerly anticipating.
Like, yes, I knew it. Like, that's a weird way to fan, man. That's a weird, weird way to fan. Yes, told you.
But
told you
definitely that. Some things to talk about. Wasn't a perfect game by any stretch of the imagination. We'll set the menu for the show when we come back. It is a busy day. Not just our show, but all the way through today on 97.3 The Fan. We'll let you know about that. Coming up, Woodsy's got one more thing.
Got a very, very special shout-out today to Nathan and Kate, a couple of huge tier ones. They had their very first baby. And lucky them, it's a girl, Kensington. Is the newest tier one. Little teeny tiny baby Kensington.
Love that name.
I do too. So welcome to the...
Kenzie? You call it Kenzie for short, maybe?
I don't know. Probably not, based on a girl that I knew named Kenzie. I'll just call her Kensington.
Just Ken, then.
Just Ken. Welcome, Kensington. And congratulations, Nathan and Kate, on your baby girl. And welcome to the tier
waiting
one family.
For little brother Normal Heights to join the program.
Right. That's... Okay.
Did I make it not as fun as you were hoping?
Kind of. Sweet? Not as sweet as it was.
Sorry about that.
It's all right. I'm used to it.
All right. Kelly's got traffic. We're off and running on a Doomer Friday here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Seems like we're all desperately in need of a little good news, so why don't we just start there before we do anything else. Padres did have some good news on Fernando Tatis Jr. yesterday. Before the game, I was listening as Tony Gwynn Jr. was broadcasting from the booth and was looking down. He was talking to Chris and Scraby and said, "Guys, I see Fernando Tatis Jr. sprinting through the outfield." And that was, I immediately like perked up. I was kind of, you know, doing the whole in traffic, kind of listening on my way to work. And I go, okay, that's notable, because that's the one thing they've been hesitant to let him do since the stress reaction and shutting him down. It's the main thing that bothered him. It's the main thing with the femur. Like once they say he can sprint, they've always said that means he's close to coming back. And that's what Tatis said yesterday. Yeah, he said, I'm close. Mike Shildt was a little more vague, but said, really? We have a looser timetable now. We won't really share it. There's still some water under the bridge a little bit, but he's definitely progressing to getting back to playing. It's good news.
But I like the looser timetable.
There is a timetable. There wasn't a timetable at all. Yeah. Now there is at least some sort of timetable. We can speculate as to what that might be. Mike Shildt confirmed after the game he expects Fernando to be on the field today, taking batting practice with the team, which is a very a normal thing that players would do. And everything seems to be trending. You know, if they do like they did with Xander Bogaerts, you know, try to get him in a couple minor league games, maybe live pitching against some of the, you know, the major league guys, and then, you know, three or four days after that, maybe a return. So we could be talking within the next 2 weeks.
Settle down. You don't want to.
Early September, perhaps. I'm not trying to jinx anything, but that would be a nice lift for the team right now. You're trying to get through this last stretch of the season, hold on to your spot for the playoffs, and getting him back, and then hopefully getting Ha-Sung Kim back which is now, what, another 6 days on the injured list before he's eligible to come back, would be a nice lift. Not only two guys just added back to your lineup, but two guys who bring a lot of energy every single day at a time in the season where you need as much energy as possible to get to the finish line. So that was the bulk of the good news yesterday from your San Diego Padres.
I'm sure you may have witnessed it, but he did some sprint work today, which is great, around 70%, which is a clear sign of progression. So, yeah, did meet with him. We have a looser timetable now, but we won't really share it because there's still some water to be some water under the bridge a little bit. But he's definitely progressing to get back to play.
So what would you say is the percentage Fernando Tatis Jr. would need to outsprint us? 70 is way more than he needs.
Four.
I don't know. I'm thinking it's in the like the 20s maybe.
No.
Here he goes again. I think on a good day, I could
if Fernando was running at 20% of his top speed, you don't think you could beat him out? Like one-fifth as fast as he could go.
I was being optimistic for us at 10%, but I think it's single digits.
70 looked plenty fast, obviously.
Yeah, dude.
One-tenth as fast as his top speed is still faster than a normal radio host.
Man. That was a good sign. It was a good.
That's 70%. We got it running in the YouTube chat, the video that Sammy took yesterday. 70 looks pretty fast to me.
Yeah, I think he smokes all of us. By far.
Yeah.
By far.
Well, I mean, clearly it's 70%. I'm talking 20%. Like,
maybe I get him at 20. 20%? I don't know. Like, come on, man. I'm not
Dominic says he beat you on crutches. I'm not saying that he couldn't.
I don't think it's fair to put you and I in the same category.
Fair enough. I've seen you run. I'm not a runner.
I've seen that. Not that I'm fast. I'm not. But
Ben's about to challenge Tyreek Hill to a race.
Even on my best day, running is the thing I have no chance at beating anybody in.
You're honestly, I can say this, you're honestly the only guy I could beat in a foot race. I think on the planet. Like, smoke. I would smoke you, and I would... It's like I've never been able to say that because everybody's always run laps around me, literally and figuratively. So I think you're the only one, but that's okay. That's okay. No, it's a good sign, man. And, you know, when he's ready to come back, you know, I hope he's really, really healthy. I know he's going to be ready to play. This has got to be killing him, eating him up inside, watching all the guys out there having as much fun as they've had this season. And make no mistake, man, as bummed as we are about the last couple days, this has been a really, really fun season. So, yeah, man, I mean, we're the dopamine that we got from the best run in Padres history is a real thing. And it's okay when you don't get your dopamine to feel a little bit like you're in need of it. It's the nature of being a sports fan. I mean, you get so, honestly, we got so used to them winning and scratching back and clawing back that I got a little nervous when I saw Cease getting barreled in the first inning. Because they were barreling him. This wasn't like a...
Could have been a lot worse than a one-run first inning.
Dude,
yeah.
I was fully expecting the swings that they were taking of him, I'm like, this is four runs. Like, right away, we're going to be down 4-0. And, you know, kudos to him for really pitching his ass off after he made the adjustment. But we'll get into the breakdown of the game next and got a good show for you today.
Yeah, after the Padres wrap up, 7 o'clock hour, we've got our normal features like Take on Woods and Don't Do This. But then the guests start arriving at 8 o'clock. Jake Mintz from Cespedes Family Barbecue will check in, talk baseball. Mike Schilt in our manager's report at 9 o'clock. We'll work a Rindle report in there somewhere. And it is a Friar Friday, I should mention, to Padres fans. 2:20 this afternoon, Gwynn and Chris are going to have Jason Adam on as their weekly Friar Friday guest. So my suggestion was that they play our song for Jason Adam.
Oh, the ass song.
The ass, end of the bullpen, Adam Scott Suarez song to see what he thinks about that and if maybe he could be a fan of AI-generated content.
Well, now you put Gillespie in there and it's gas. And I don't mean the good kind that fills up your car. I mean the other kind.
Well, we'll definitely talk about that as well. In our Padres wrap-up. Coming up next, stay tuned, the lowlights from an 8-3 loss to the New York Mets. We return on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. Baseball coverage on 97.3 The Fan is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You can get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at T-Mobile.com/switch. Padres made a roster switch before the game yesterday that ended up... being consequential during the game when they sent Matt Waldron down to AAA. We talked about it during the roundtable yesterday. If they were going to make a move, they did. They did not wait. Called up Logan Gillespie back from AAA to put into the bullpen, maybe temporarily as well. But he did, of course, end up pitching that ninth inning and factored into yesterday's game. We will get to the lowlights of the 8-3 loss to the New York Mets with our Padres wrap-up. Right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's a shame. It's a shame if they lose.
Oh, a shame indeed.
It's a complete crap.
Oh, I did not like that.
Here are the lowlights from yesterday's game.
Are you f***? Kidding me?
Boo.
It's the Padres wrap-up, presented by Hummel Casino. With thrilling slots and tables and all the best rewards, Hummel Casino has all the fun you're looking for. Hummel Casino, fun above all else.
We'll give it 16 minutes of salt and then we'll, you know, get back on the bump and figure it out.
It's not your fault.
Got a career-high 9-game hitting streak going, and he's been slugging during it. Hits this one hard over Machado down the left field line. It'll be more extra bases. Lindor rounding 30, scores easily. And Vientos into second, now a 10-game hitting streak. And the Mets go double-double to begin the night, 1-0 New York. Ball and two strikes, here's the pitch, and Alvarez takes outside, gets off of Camposano's glove, goes to the backstop, Winker will slide in safely ahead of the throw, and what might end up being called a passed ball gives the Mets a 2-0 lead. Swings here, grounds it up the middle, McCoy to his left, long way to go, has it, throw to first, not in time, and Iglesias will score to make it 3-0. Tremendous effort by Mason McCoy, who ended up all the way on the other side of the infield. Big crowd anticipating something big, and a one-hopper to second, snagged by Iglesias. To second one, Lindor's throw wide, but Alonso able to hold his foot on the bag. Jose Iglesias just showing off the hands. Run scores as McCoy crosses the plate. For the Mets, I'm sure happy to trade 2-for-1 and a double play, and now a 3-1 game. Nothing and one to Vientos, the pitch. Fastball bounced up the middle, and that'll find its way through, a base hit. McNeil has scored. Taylor's on his way. No throw from Merrill. Two-run single for Vientos against the drawn-in infield, and the 5-1. He is now up with Diaz in the bullpen. Winker sends one in the air to left center field. This time, Profar not going to be able to get there. Bounces down, hops up against the wall. Alonso rounding third. McCoy's relay to the plate comes in behind the dish. Winker all the way around to third base. Another run for the Mets, and it's 7-1 here in the ninth. 2-0, and Iglesias hits it on the ground to the left side. Manny to his left has got it. Spins around, throws to first, not in time. Iglesias beats it out. Winker comes in to score on the infield hit, and now 8-1 Mets. 3-2 again. Profar hard hit on the ground, through the right side, and a base hit. Camposano on his way home. He'll score 8-3 in the bottom of the ninth inning. Two-out RBI single by Jurickson Profar on the ninth pitch of his at-bat. 1-1 on the ground right side. Alonso dives. He's got it from his knees. Feeds to first in time. Razabon covers, and a stellar defensive play by Pete Alonso to bring this ninth inning to a close.
I mean, we know what we're going to get. That's the comforting thing about it. We know what we're going to get. 26 guys who show up ready to compete, prepared the right way, see the game, play the game. We've lost a couple in a row. It's going to happen. I ride with this club. This club's ready to get after tomorrow already.
Well, Mets have Padres' number this year. That's 4-0 in four games. They've already clinched the season series, which is kind of bad because that means they have the tiebreaker, and hopefully it doesn't come down to that. Padres still have a 4.5 game lead over the Mets in the wild card race, but if they did continue to chip away, they now have that in their back pocket for the end of the season, knowing that they have clinched the season series against the San Diego Padres. And I don't know if it's just not a good matchup or whatever, but Padres have played four of their really worst games of the season against the New York Mets. The 3-game sweep in New York, yeah. And now game one of the 4-game series here at Petco Park. And I want to start by saying, I've been reading from afar Really positive reviews for Carlos Mendoza, the manager of the Mets. And they came out with a good game plan against Dylan Cease. I mean, they clearly had a game plan. Oh, it was swing, swing more, swing early, swing in the middle of the at-bat. Just keep swinging against Dylan Cease. I think Mudd pointed out like a crazy stat that by the sixth inning or so, they were swinging at 95% of Dylan Cease's strikes. The normal, like, major league average, about 68%. It's like he said, guys, we are going to be aggressive. They started out with the double, just swinging first pitch on that Mark Vientos double down the line. They wanted to attack. They wanted to maybe catch Dylan Cease, you know, before he could get ahead of them 0-1, 0-2, and start dropping in that nasty slider. And it worked pretty well. I mean, Cease obviously recovered nicely after that first inning and was a much better version of himself. But they managed to scratch those two more across with bad play by Camposano on the pass ball that hurt. That cost one unearned run there. Infield single, really close play. Mason McCoy nearly had him at first, and that was the other run. You know, after that, that was the game. Then it was just, could the Padres get anything going against Severino? Which they really couldn't. Had a couple of chances. One really good chance there with Jake up and the bases loaded and nobody out in the bottom of the fifth inning. Did everything he could. He hit the ball. The hardest ball of the night, by the way. Just under 111 miles per hour.
Unreal.
Had an XBA of like 790. Amazing play to turn the double play.
Yep.
He got the run, but that really killed the vibes of that what could have been a big comeback inning. Never happened for the San Diego Padres.
Yeah, that's going to happen. You barrel a ball, and I mean, I can't believe some of the responses I saw to that. Like, oh, Jake's got to get that ball in the air. Number one, you guys were watching Luis Severino last night, right?
Filthy.
He was filthy.
Might be the toughest pitcher they faced in the second half of the season.
Good
at
God.
Least the way he was throwing yesterday.
He was nasty, dude. And the steady diet of sweeper, the really sharp sweeper that he was throwing was and it stayed in the zone, you know, a long way. They always talk about the tunneling, and his tunneling was pretty solid. And Jake did everything right there, man. You hit the ball 110.9 miles an hour. Yeah, man. The guys made a good play, and it was a tough one. It was a tough one for sure. The top of the order got to come through a little bit more. But other than that, man, Dylan Cease, I legitimately thought, watching him in the first inning, I go, this could be one where it's 4-0. Like, the good swings they took off him, the way his slider was kind of hanging, you saw him get away with a couple. I think Alvarez missed one that was, I mean, the biggest cookie I've ever seen, and he fouled it straight back, and he knew it. And Dylan Cease did what an ace does. I probably don't have my best stuff tonight, and they clearly have a plan on me. I need to adjust a little bit. And boy, did he. Two earned runs, one walk, man. That's fantastic. You kept in his zone. You scattered nine hits. You gave up two earned runs. You had one walk. It was a really, really well-pitched game by Dylan Cease, especially knowing he didn't have his great stuff early.
Yeah, I know it's weird to say. He gave up nine hits, which is a ton, but seven strikeouts, getting into the seventh, that's a quality start.
Yeah, man, for sure.
And if the Padres had scored six runs, we'd be, you know, lauding Dylan Cease even more as, you know, one of the guttier performances of the season, didn't have his great stuff, you know, kept the Padres in it, and then they end up winning the game. Well, because they didn't rally, the narrative seems a little bit different. But Cease and Hoeing did their jobs in keeping the Padres in that game. Brian Hoeing with an inning and two-thirds of scoreless relief with three strikeouts, and the Padres were still in it all the way until the top of the ninth inning.
Did I say top of the order or middle? I meant middle. The middle of the order. Crone, Machado, Xander, Merrill, 0-15. Plenty of chances to drive in runs there. Yeah, man, one of those guys is going to need to have a game to beat a team like the Mets, and a pitcher like Luis Severino just wasn't in the cards last night. So I was pretty bummed, and I was really bummed by how it kind of ended. You know, when we're kind of in it, 3-1, and I'll be honest, I guess I don't necessarily understand the move for Gillespie, other than just we have so many games in so many days. If he goes out and gives me three outs, I'm in good shape, and our team can go out and win a ball game. His ERA now is up to 7.71. You know, you had Alec Jacob that was down in AAA. I thought Gillespie, even the call-up, was a little bit of a weird move. Jacob's got a 1.42 ERA in the big leagues. He's been really successful.
They actually can't bring Jacob without putting someone on the injured list.
No, I think they can.
Well, I think they need to wait a few more days,
couple more
is
days.
What I saw. Yeah, unless they put someone on the IL.
He was demoted the 8th. So he's past the 10 days
15
required.
For pitchers, isn't it?
I think it's 10.
Is it 10?
I think it's 10. I think they could have called him up. So, again, they know way more about it than I do. Alec Jacob could be nursing a sore knee. I have no idea.
He could have pitched yesterday or 2 or 3 of the 4 days, and they don't want to use him yet. And Gillespie may be on his way back to Triple-A today.
I would imagine he is.
There was an arm they had. It was either use him today or don't use him at all. Mike Schilt decided, well, let's use him in the ninth. We don't have a lead to protect. Let's not use one of our higher leverage arms in the back of the bullpen. And, you know, maybe still
15 for pitchers. You're right. 15 for pitchers.
Maybe still, you know, lose him at the, you know, maybe still lose the game. And then we've used Adam or Scott or someone. So they, you know, they gambled, tried to keep the deficit there with two. And Gillespie has had some good outings as well, but he's obviously, if he was one of their better pitchers, he would have been on the team already and not just called up for one day. So took a little risk, backfired when they gave up 7 hits and 5 runs in the ninth inning and didn't have a chance. Now, don't come to me and say, oh, well, then the Padres then score 2. We'd be going to extra innings. The Mets aren't. You know, they're putting in Diaz, you know, in the ninth. It's a totally different game. Now, they still may have come back. You would rather be down 2, but you can't just simply say, and then the Padres go and score 2, and they would have been going to extra innings. It's a totally different situation.
It is.
In the ninth inning, you know, if it's a 3-1 game.
But now what you've done by putting Gillespie in and him giving up so many runs, they didn't have to use Diaz last night. And so now Diaz is fresh for tonight. And so. Again, man, having a crystal ball or having the benefit of hindsight is the best. You can sit on your couch and question every single move. That one was a little bit surprising to me. And really, it was surprising to me before he threw his first pitch. And it was really surprising to me after he threw his last pitch. So it just, you know, listen, they're not always in the cards, but they ended up scoring a ton of runs and not having to use their closer. Not the best night for the guys. As I just mentioned, you know, the big boppers in the middle got to come through there 0 for 15. Not going to get it done. They know that. Be ready to compete today. And we move on. We turn the page. But, yeah, you got to figure out a way to beat these guys.
Yeah.
I don't know how you do it. But
you know, and you know, Padres have a block with the Rockies. Yeah, you know, every team has a team or two that they struggle against for whatever reason during a season. There's matchups, but you can't let it end up being like a 7-0 season series sweep. You got to get a couple of these games the next 3 days, and then we're fine. As we said yesterday, you take a split of this series. You want to win it, but, you know, you take a game split, and then the Mets make no ground up while they're in town, and you've killed 4 games off the schedule the rest of the year, making their job much, much tougher to try to catch you. They did what they had to do in the first game. They've given themselves a chance to win the series, take 3 of 4 or all 4, and that, you know, that's what they're aiming to do. Now it's time for the Padres to bounce back, and then they'll do so with Joe Musgrove in game 2 of the series tonight. You know you're going to get a bulldog effort from Joe, especially against these New York Mets. Question is, can you get some offense to support Joe Musgrove right now from a team that is not 100% in their lineup and still missing some key players? So that's going to be the trick to the series going forward. Stop putting yourself in these early holes. Give yourself a lead, a chance to get to that back end of the bullpen confidently. You know, you love where the Padres are. If they're up in the sixth, you love their chances at winning games.
You've got to
get there first, and it has been a bit more of a struggle this past week in finding leads after 5 or 6 innings to get to that back end of the bullpen that is so nasty and devastating.
Well, and now you have a really, 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 really fresh bullpen. It's very, very fresh tonight. If Joe Musgrove doesn't have it, and he will still be on some sort of pitch count, I would imagine they're going to be watching him very closely.
Probably can get into the 80s or even close to 90, though.
What was he last time, like 75?
I think he got up to almost 80, 80? Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, if he's on an 80-pitch count, you've got Estrada, you got Yuki, you got Tanner Scott, you got Morejon, you got Suarez, you got Jason Adam, you got Sean Reynolds. Like, you're stacked tonight. You're ready to go and, you know, let the chips fall where they may. But the offense needs to come through. Who's throwing for the Mets tonight?
Paul Blackburn, right-hander, has made about 13 starts this season, I think. Okay results, you know, not certainly one of the aces of their staff, but, you know, right now, you just have no, with the Padres, there's not, you know, a lot of teams, you face an ace, you struggle, you face the back end guy, you score a lot of runs. Padres, it's not quite as linear. Sometimes they do better against the good pitchers, struggle against guys like Austin Gomber this year. It's been a little bit more weird when it comes to when the Padres offense clicks. It's more about the Padres than I think who they're facing.
I think you're absolutely right.
You know, which is fine. They just, you know, aren't quite as hot as they were coming out of the All-Star break now offensively. And, you know, they're going to have to find it again. This was always going to happen.
Oh, yeah.
There was not going to be no hiccups from the All-Star break right to lifting the World Series trophy at the end of the year.
Correct.
That's never going to happen. It was never a possibility. There's going to be more tough moments after this before the end of the season. That's just baseball. So now it's a matter of shortening those tough moments, hopefully to no more than like two games here, and getting it turned around before it becomes a real, you know, festering problem going forward, like they kind of did let it a couple times or in the first half of the season, letting those two-game losing streaks become five-game losing streaks four different times
right. In
the first half of the season. They've avoided it so far. This side of the All-Star break, can they continue to do what they've done very well tonight, nip it in the bud, and start a new winning streak with Joe Musgrove on the mound? We'll find out.
Musgrove threw 73 last week.
Good. So, yeah, I mean, really effective.
So 80 sounds pretty reasonable.
Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be great. Would love to see that. Adam just said in the chat, my son said, Dad, I have a City Connect hat. Can I be on Ben and Woods? And that's our boss, Adam. And I said, well, I said yes, but Ben says no. Sorry. No more kids in the studio, per Ben's instructions. So, sorry about that, Adam. Sorry about that, Ethan. Not going to happen, buddy.
We even made Ryan Cohen wait until he was an official adult before he came in studio. It's
just... Yeah, Ben was not happy the last time you were here. You were just a punk kid, and he hates kids. So it's good to have you here. You have a full mustache. That's what you need. That's what you got to have, a full stash.
Can't grow facial hair. Get
then I better leave, actually, if that's the rule. I'm the one who can't grow facial hair in this studio.
Dude, our rally road just kind of lost its mojo. Do we stomp him out or what? Is it a rally roach?
No, let's lean into him at least one more day.
Okay.
I don't think he's the problem.
Come on, buddy.
We just need
all right, we need two out of three this
week. We need Ryan to give a kiss to the rally roach as well.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's not, you know, they have lost, what, seven times since the All-Star break. The rally roach isn't perfect.
It's not perfect.
The rally roach is simply winning three out of four good.
Yeah.
And we need so far this year.
Yep.
I'll take three out of four against the Mets. Happily. Rally roach stats are still plenty good for the San Diego Padres. All right, we'll come back. So what are the Padres going to do now that Matt Waldron has been sent down? Obviously, he's not going to be making his next start on Monday. What are those options? What is Mike Shildt and A.J. Preller thinking going forward with the Padres pitching rotation? Talk about that and play some Take on Woods when we return on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.